Okay, I'll call the work session, the Planning and Zoning Board to order. And we have one agenda topic to grind our way through the land development code.
And I think
should be done early.
We thank Mr. Bornstein for calling in all the way from the International Space Station. It's very kind. He was able to make it. And thank you all again for your attendance at the meeting yesterday. I feel like I haven't seen you in at least 8 hours.
I'm astral projecting here.
Okay. Mary, have you made me the meeting?
Yes, you're the co-host or a co-host.
The co-host. I'll take it. Okay. Then in that case, I'm going to go ahead and share the screen that should be the draft Orange Avenue overlay language. Are you seeing that at the top there?
Yes.
Okay. So the changes we make today, I've modified it, the colors, to be a little bit easier to see. Things we change will be in blue. If additions will be in blue, subtractions will be in red, which, because sometimes those start to get a little bit tough when you're doing additions and subtractions of word sections and that sort of thing in larger stanzas. So with your permission, Mr. Chairman, can I go ahead and start with the ordinance title,
please,
and ask if there are any comments or questions on this? Then we have our whereases, which are very similar to what we have in the comp plan amendment. And I did go ahead and try to update the sections where the comp plan amendments that you have suggested would translate over into this document. Where they did make sense, sizes of buildings and other things that you did. But there are sections where we removed some of the language because it was duplicative, and we left the longer version in this 49-page document versus our 7-page document. So also put the public hearing, went ahead and put the public hearing date on October 5th in anticipation. That is the date certain that we continued the public hearing on this item too. If we don't finish on that date, that's okay. It's we can change that, but it's just kind of getting the ordinance ready and prepared to be sent over to the city commission when you are ready. They are going to take action on the 22nd on their first reading of the ordinance. And after their first reading of the ordinance of the comprehensive plan, this is just a little bit of housekeeping, then we have 10 days to send the document to the DEO, Department of Economic Opportunity, and also numerous state agencies like St. John's River Water Management District, Department of Environmental Protection, State Department, Department of Education, FDOT, and then they send us a letter saying we have received it. And luckily, the pandemic has forced the state to modernize slightly, because last time we did this, I actually went up to Tallahassee to turn in the information just to learn about the process. And you have to put it on CD-ROM. And I did not have a CD-ROM on my computer. And so I had to go into the depths of Office Depot and buy an external CD writer, blow the dust off. And they required, and I also put them on thumb drives. And they said, these are really cool. We should use these. And I said, I agree. But now it's all done digitally because of COVID. So it's extra easy. But they have 10 days to tell us that they have received our documentation. And then from the date of receipt, they have 30 days to review. So do the other reviewing bodies, and they send those comments back to us with any, they don't really call them comments or suggestions. They call it technical assistance, which the only thing they did last time was say, why do you have so many comp plan policies in here? And I said, well, we just do. So once we have that back in hand after 30 days, then we will hold the second reading of the comp plan ordinance. And while this is going on, all that waiting time, we will be working on this, on the zoning code, getting that out October 5th, and then getting that on an October agenda for the second meeting of the city commission in October. And then we can really hold that second hearing on the zoning code whenever we want. What we want to do is line up the second hearings so that they're adopted at the same meeting. The commission is also trying to line this up with our transportation impact fee. And it's all easy to do because you just make an effective date that they all become effective, and you can go ahead and pass ordinances, and they do not become effective until the date listed. So it would, you know, basically the three ordinances for the impact fee, for the comp plan, for the zoning code, would all go to the same, be effective on the same date. So sorry, a little bit of background for all those interested in the state process of comprehensive planning, which I know they're, everybody loves that.
I do have a comment on your, I guess it's the second whereas from the bottom of this page.
Okay.
The first sentence, it goes across mixed use designation directed, and then there's a period. I think there shouldn't be a period. I think it sounds like that was supposed to be a whole sentence.
That is the policy language itself. So we should probably, maybe not.
I don't think you need to direct it.
That's actually verbatim from our comp plan.
Got it.
So maybe just italic would cover that.
Okay, thanks.
But yeah, I hate
random periods.
Yeah.
It's like, what did you leave out here?
Yes, that makes absolute sense.
Okay, well, that's all my comments, so I'm just going to go ahead and log off. No.
Anything else on the first page that any of our other board members have you, if you're okay with it, we can probably just have everybody speak up if you see anything, because it's kind of hard for me to see everybody's camera, and I've only got a single screen right now.
Well, that's okay. It's just David and I and some kind of blobby looking thing.
Mr. Fitch's camera is either very close to something or pointed somewhere, and then and anybody else can feel free to come on camera if you'd like. So
no, they all like to hide.
Our chair and vice don't feel lonely, but all right. So the next whereas, and these are kind of future whereases. They're assumptive in nature that this will go through the correct process. And some of it is specific just to the city commission and not yourselves. And now we get into Section 1 Amendment, Chapter 58. Of the city code is the land development code, and then the comp plan is a portion of the land development code, but this new section 5883 will be where the comp plan, or I'm sorry, the zoning code portion of the OAO will be. It basically says we're establishing Orange Avenue overlay, doing it because the comp plan says to, upon adoption, the boundaries will be shown on the zoning map, which we've added a property, and we've discussed that in public hearing. And then we've given that property an A designation. And it really is explaining a bit of what an overlay district is, because it can be a little bit tricky.
On that paragraph, again, this is just a typo. It looks like that indented paragraph should just follow the sentence. First sentence should just follow behind the title applicability. To keep consistent.
Yep. I'm with you. Allegedly, it should do what we just told it to do when we accept changes. It's not going to do it for us right now.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think you've got.
Or we do it this way. Oh, boy. That may have gotten way too.
You've gotten too fancy.
Yep, too fancy. Going back to the original. All right. Should do that there.
Okay.
So are we taking any bets on if that's the dog that often graces the lap of Mr. Fitch during these virtual meetings that's getting very close to the camera there?
Under Orange.
I don't know what's wrong with my video.
That's okay.
I can't seem to get it.
It's okay. You're in outer space with David.
Yeah. but we can hear you just fine, Mr. Fitch, so you're good.
Thank you.
That section there, under Parent 1, Parent, it begins, it is the intent. We move that to the comprehensive plan.
Yes, sir.
I don't see a problem with leaving it here, but other board members might.
Yeah, this is where we really explain, go into more detail. What is an overlay? Exactly what is it? It's an additional layer of zoning. And I'll tell you why this is all very important with the story, because I once did an overlay district for an entire highway corridor in Oklahoma. It was about 6 miles of highway. And in Oklahoma, the cities are funded through sales tax. And so we had this great highway corridor. That's your lifeline where your future development will be, your retail. We also had some investment, and we sent out notice to all the people within that area within 1500 feet and said, we are going to have the US 169 overlay district. And we walked in and the room was just packed. We had an elementary school gym, and a lot of people don't come to these things. And it didn't take very long to figure out that all these people thought this was a meeting to talk about how the city was going to overlay everybody's streets and repave and overlay everyone's streets in the area. They weren't there to talk about zoning. So I learned a lesson there to make very clear early on that this is a zoning overlay district, because I had a lot of upset Okies that they were not getting new streets at that meeting. But yes, this is this here, 3.1 is the language that we use kind of as our qualifier within the comp plan. And then we go into the boundaries on the map shown herein.
Why don't we use the refer to the map as it's labeled as the Flume 1-24? It just says the following map, which is not highly specific.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. And are we ever going to get Exhibit A?
I might ask Mr. Langley if we have to do that, because that's a big attachment, and I don't remember us doing that.
I think this is wording that came over from the steering committee.
Mr. Langley, are you on the line with us today, sir?
He is. A participant.
Tell you what, let's highlight that one, because
I'm here. I'm sorry, I had trouble unmuting. It's okay. I got stuck in the full screen version.
Yeah.
You know, I remember this maybe coming over as a part of the density transfer conversation.
Yeah, that was, I think that was one of the primary concerns, making sure we identified the properties you know, parcel IDs can change over time, so it's not necessarily the best way of identifying properties anyway. But
and condo form of ownership makes it even more difficult. You know, statutorily, I believe all that's required is to have a map and a that shows all of the things that are shown here.
Yeah, I don't. You don't necessarily need the parcel IDs for this. It could be helpful if there's any dispute about if the boundaries are not clearly defined on the map. But you know, if this is something we want to eliminate as an exhibit, that's fine. Also, to keep in mind is we would not want to codify that exhibit into the code because
with all the parcel numbers.
Yeah, because those things change. I mean, if they're split or they're platted or condo. Yeah,
that's true.
Change.
I mean, within a month, there will be some sort of real estate transaction that would make that whole document kind of moot. So I don't believe this is a requirement statutorily. And
well, then let's kill it.
I'm not a fan of it. So I just fine.
Hey, Bronze, you may want to keep that last part of the sentence and combine it with the previous sentence where it says shall reflect an OAO designation on the city zoning map.
Okay. Within this defined area shall reflect OAO.
How about this? Each parcel of the property within OAO shall reflect. Yeah, delete all that. And then the word on probably should be an, A-N instead of O-N.
Okay. I like it. And a lot of you may have noticed that it is very, very fuzzy to see some of these maps and these documents. And I want to show you something that Dr. James and I discovered together. If you zoom very far in, it may be on the other ones.
Works better on a PDF than it does on a Word.
Yeah, it's the ones that show the setbacks and everything. They're very fuzzy, but if you zoom in, you have extreme clarity on those things. So I'm no computer expert.
Like I say, it works better if it's a PDF document than a Word document, but
yes, you are correct.
The Zoom helps tremendously.
You are correct. Hey, but Bronze, yes, sir.
Can we go back up to that language? I think there's something else we should keep in there. I'm sorry I missed this. The words in addition to retaining its underlying zoning classification as modified by these OAO regulations and provisions, that language probably should stay in there as well. The stricken through language.
Oh, okay.
In the middle there, where it says, in addition to retaining.
Yes, sir.
I think that probably should stay there as well. In addition, that whole thing, unstrike that.
To this point?
All the way to the word shall.
Okay. So we're keeping everything except requiring that you have to have the tax parcel ID for each one.
Yeah, sorry, I missed that.
That's okay. Are we good? Good with the map here. This is obviously we'll make it a little bit prettier for the final version. I'll see if I can have Allison sneak into the office for 5 minutes and do all this mapping that she can do and very quickly, and that I can do like right here.
Yeah.
When we get into the purpose, a lot of this came from, if you'll remember, the document that came out of the original steering committee. This is, it's kind of the almost the mission statement, I guess, of what this was supposed to accomplish. And it's good to look back at this because we've gone so deep into so many subjects that I think we've somewhat forgotten where we started and why we started and what we hope to accomplish. But it was all about creating a great place and a connected neighborhood and incentivize private development, help the small business owner create have our first real beautiful entry into Winter Park, because it's if you all have had guests come in town like I have, and you tell them get off on I-4 and get on Fairbanks, and I've been describing this beautiful place with live oaks everywhere and brick streets, and they're driving down Fairbanks, and I'll get a call and they'll say, I don't know if I'm in the right place. And you say, take a left at the 7-Eleven and it'll all make sense. but this is just an opportunity for us to have that first great entrance into town, you know, promote better connectivity to Mead Botanical Garden. That's something where we've got some language in Area C below that has been a little bit forgotten, that the intent of Area C, whether it was going to be developed or not, was to let people know, hey, we have this gem right down here, and, you know, 50 acres of a beautiful wilderness in the middle of a city. And right now we have a 2-square-foot metal sign, and now this requires something a little bit more. So is there anything in any of these purpose?
No, I think it's kind of, they all except number 21 came directly from the steering committee final report, which is kind of nice.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they took a master's course in Orange Avenue over the course of the summer, that's for sure. Okay. All right. And then this next area under permitted uses, the way we got to this point is we took every zoning district that was in the Orange Avenue overlay boundary that went all the way from R1A to R3 to office, you know, O1 and O2. I think we had some C1 commercial, some C3 commercial. We had a good amount of industrial zoning. We had some park zoning. We had some PQP. And so we made a list of every allowed use by right in those categories and went down the list with the steering committee and just said yay or nay. And because with the overlay, instead of having all these uses dependent on the underlying zoning, it's we're saying any of these uses are allowed anywhere in the overlay, unless we want to say no or say, yeah, that may be a good fit, but we should put it as a conditional use because it may need a little extra attention. And so this is the list that made the cut, and these the intent, sometimes you'll see some numbers, some square foot numbers. The intent was to keep things small scale and also to not create businesses that, for lack of a better term, are parking hogs that need a lot of parking and sometimes don't have a great deal of turnover. You know, it's markets and things like that, corner stores. They may have a need for a good number of parking spaces, but your average time in there may be 10 to 15 minutes where the turnover works. Whereas just your standard office is someone likely is going to come in at 8 and then they're going to leave at 5. And so that parking space is not available. So antique store, bar, tavern, cocktail lounge, as long as it has over 51% of its gross income from food sales, it's not technically an actual bar per the Winter Park Code. And that's pretty standard across most states. Is it's when you get over that 51%, you become a bar that serves food versus a restaurant that serves alcohol, I guess.
Is the on number 6 where it says market or corner store and excluding convenience store, are those, is the term convenience store defined somewhere or market or corner? Is there any possibility for an argument there?
I think we have a definition. So the intent of this was to create what you see in small cities where you have a higher population who has a small little corner market that is your everyday run down, grab something for dinner, small groceries and produce. But it's not a full-on grocery versus a convenience store, which we've got a convenience store on Orange Avenue. That's not a very great place. It's a gas station as well. But you've all been to that one, and it's not a, you know, it's got a lot of the stickers and the branding and the vape here, that sort of thing that has the, that we're not trying to, it's not a place just to come in and get a pop, some beer and a pack of cigarettes and, you know, maybe some lottery tickets. That's what we're trying to distinguish between the two. So,
none of those terms, market or corner store or convenience store, are in the definition
section. The definition section. So
that's just
make a note to do that.
We might want to add it.
I agree.
Or if there's another place in our land use code that we can refer to.
Yeah, that one is, It is a tough one that I think no matter how tight we make the language, I think someone would be able to make an argument one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Great input. So we have some things that, you know, antique stores is one that I think we've got some antique sort of furniture places there that would be fine. Antique stores don't take up a heck of a lot of parking. They usually need a good amount of square footage, but the great thing about them is they usually, they're great for window shopping, and they create walkability, and they create foot traffic, and they create interest and make people, you know, maybe want to stop in and check it out. So blueprinting, photocopying, and printing offices. Some of these are right from our code that is right from 1979.
I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Why are our banquet facilities not allowed in a boutique hotel?
Good question. That is due to discussions we had with the city commission, who wanted to limit the number of rooms and not create banquet facilities because of the parking demand. And I'm not sure all of the reasons, to be honest. And there's also, you know, you brought up the definition of some other things. If you look at the definition of boutique hotel, it usually says 100 rooms or less, or 125 rooms or less, but it really comes down to something that creates a unique experience for each guest, where it's not just a Holiday Inn where everybody goes into the same room with the same art on the wall, and you go down in the morning and go through the buffet line. I mean, I think anybody in this town would be hard pressed to say that the Alfond is not a boutique hotel. It's an art museum. It has an amazing experience for every person who goes through there. I mean, the art in each room and the design scheme is unique. So
that's a tough one. And it has banquet facilities.
It does. Yeah. It does. And so you have the ability to modify that.
If there's a little boutique hotel, a little 90 room boutique hotel that wants to go in, and they want to be able to serve a bed and breakfast style breakfast, would this preclude them from doing that if they set aside a room to do that?
No, that would probably fall under minimal food and beverage operations. I think this one is for specifically places such as the new Hilton and the Alfond, which actually have breakout rooms, they have ballrooms, they have that sort of thing, which, you know, is actually brings people, commerce to the city. So I think it's worthwhile discussion.
Can we, boutique hotel is in our definitions section. Would we be better off just saying boutique hotel, and then when we get to definitions, improve on what it means? Is that binding in definitions as it is under this section?
Because I think it's
what does minimal mean?
I think it's has more.
Well, I wouldn't do it now. I would just
power here because a lot of people don't look at the definitions at the end.
I have a quick question when you get a minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just jump on in anytime.
So does that mean no, without banquet facilities, I'm assuming you can't have wedding receptions, you can't do, you know, small, maybe corporate lunches or meetings. I mean, that's
correct.
A lot of loss in revenue for a small boutique hotel. I would especially think like weddings and, you know, events like that.
Well, and it's those type of events activate the corridor by bringing guests in who may stay a couple of nights, who then are going to walk up to Real Fish and go get a coffee in the morning and kind of explore the area. You know, there is the Garden Club or Mead that's available, but I don't think it's the amount of competition is extreme right now. I think anybody who can say they're getting married in Winter Park is happy to have that on the invitation. But yeah, I think if we were going to define,
I think David has a very good point, and I even think the phrase minimal food and beverage doesn't really define, because this is under permitted use. They can come in and argue this is minimal.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's only half the size of Fiddler's.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, maybe we want to get a little creative on,
you went past.
So with the sorry, I've got a delay here.
There it is.
So do you agree with the 100 rooms or less? Is that acceptable to the board?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
I'm just one.
I'm fine with that, but I would delete it after, I would delete everything after or less.
Okay.
I agree.
Maybe we should get.
Don't delete less.
Maybe yeah. We should get a little specific on, size of the facilities, because the thing with wedding facilities is one of the things we're trying to promote here is beautiful, usable open space. So I think having a indoor-outdoor wedding space, actually there's, if we're talking about the, say the Dimitri property, it's probably no better place in town that you could have an outdoor service that that you may have to pause now and then for a train to come through, like at the like at the farmer's market, but that may be a great place to have a, you know, a wedding venue, indoor, outdoor venue. So,
well, let's just delete this. I mean, it did come over directly from the, this is what the steering committee said, but.
So the other option is to put it in there as a
conditional use.
As a conditional use, which anything this size is going to be a conditional use anyway. So there's not necessarily a reason to take it out of there. But if we don't, my concern is if you want it to be in there, we don't want to totally remove it. The other uses, or less. We can say so. What about a restaurant associated with a boutique hotel? Are you good with that?
Yeah. I think you need to have some restaurant facility.
This has got to go through permitting anyway. So there's opportunities mm-hmm. for evaluation when an application is put in.
I just want to make sure no one on our side doesn't say, well, it doesn't specifically say you can do this. So should we say event venues and food and beverage may be included as a part of the application? Something like that.
I'm fine with that.
Sure.
Either that or that's an interesting spelling. if it's a little fuzzy, maybe we should make it conditional use, where they've got to come in and explain what they're going to do.
Okay, so we...
Well, I'm just throwing that out.
That's actually a... the funny thing is, it's going to have to be a conditional use, because it will meet the threshold for size and property needed.
So does it come out of this section and just go to the conditional use section?
But say somebody wanted to do a boutique hotel with less than 10,000 square feet, they wanted to do an adaptive reuse to make just a cute boutique hotel out of, say, if
like a B&B.
Yeah, of an existing building that didn't trigger conditional use. I think we would want to support that and not make them spend the money to jump through the hoops. But if they want to do a boutique hotel with facilities, then we put that into the...
Ah, okay.
Because, I mean, we had an application come in for a second story hotel above an office that was 6 rooms, and it was designed around being a place where you go and and you know, you go wine tasting, it was based around scotch and different scotches and kind of a scotch and cigar bar, and very, very small. But I think that would be something very cool if that happened on Orange Ave.
Yeah.
Today. Maybe we say on-site food service rather than having it catered.
Right.
Okay, well, cleaned up that language a little bit, but I think that's good. And then I'm looking at the next one going, why is a retail antique store now a conditional use?
Well, that's that question.
So I think that some of these come out, there were some tough decisions based on what is there and people not wanting to hurt feelings for a place like Goodwill, which is grandfathered in, can continue to operate there, for as long as necessary. I know they've saved my bacon a time or two when I've been running to a meeting and have to have a tie on and have a shirt with a big stain on it or a rip in the sleeve, and I'll run in there and grab what I can. But do we want that type of use to grow? There are a lot of high-end boutique sort of clothing stores that are doing that. A lot of it is becoming more and more online, but you know, people who are buying $150 jeans and then are selling them to a store for $50, who then resells them for $100. Is that the ability to have that sort of shop okay? I mean, I would almost classify that as retail, quite honestly.
I think having the antique stores in twice is a little bit confusing.
Yes. I agree. And do you know, resale opens the door for any sort of secondhand shop, thrift store, that sort of thing. So it's just asking the question, is that the type of
pawn shop
business that's, yeah.
It doesn't bother me when I think of, like on Corinne, there's some, you know, some small, like, what is it called? The Lovely that has, you know, secondhand clothing, antiques. I mean, it's kind of a funky little, you know, shop that adds a little bit of character, has a good reputation. I think especially with what the world's gone through with all the, you know, economic issues, that there's a need for that kind of merchandise.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's the place that's just to the, I think, the west of Linda's Diner that is a couple of decor type places that are a lot of mid-century modern type pieces that may fall into the antique category, but it's really cool looking stuff. And it's, again, it's great to window shop, but do we want to be, do you want me to research to try to be a little more specific on how we don't get places where you get those clothing bins that people drop off all of their excess garage sale stuff and it becomes a code enforcement nightmare?
Yeah. Well, it is in the conditional use area, which means
they
got to come in and be approved for whatever they're trying. And we can always say, no, that's not the right resale.
I mean, I have no problem with something like pawn shops being specifically excluded, but both retail and antique stores can add flavor. I mean, I think the Corinne Corridor is a perfect example of a place that has a whole bunch of shops like that that are neat.
Yep. And I think we've already got some shops that are doing the high-end clothing sort of deal there, and Orange Avenue's kind of got a cool, funky flair to it. So
and we've got Avalon is there, Goodwill is there.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Make sure I didn't skip over. Too far. Okay, so then we get down to breweries or distilleries. Unfortunately, we lost ours. But we've got the Ravenous Pig, which has really grown and turned into something really pretty fantastic. And there's continued interest.
I had kind of a concern with a drop-off only dry cleaning, but you didn't have a drive-through, which means somebody's got to go park, get out of their car, here are my clothes, give me my clean clothes, go back and get in their car and drive off.
I think if I recall, the thought of that was the queuing of, you know, people on the way home picking up dry cleaning. A lot of those have one space or so before it gets out into the street. But the thing is, do we want more dry cleaning? The city has bought one of the dry cleaners in the area. The other one can remain in perpetuity. It's a really cool looking building with a great looking awning. I think they should be a dry cleaning and sandwich shop. but do we need to have dry cleaning on a list of allowed uses? Do we want a new one? opening up there.
Seems like I'm the only one that's bothered by it. So.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of okay with it too. I mean, it's not, you know, the most attractive use, but there, it's probably fulfilling a need.
Yeah. Okay.
And do we feel that the area is well served enough right now with what is there, or yes, I guess I just need yays or nays from whether to keep it. So
I guess I would say yay. It's, I mean, okay. You know, what a dry cleaning place can go out of business. Another one might want to come in at a different location.
Yeah. Okay.
Agreed.
I mean, again, I reference Corinne. They've got, I think, two dry cleaners, one in the East Plaza and one in the left on the West Plaza. And it's, you know, it's a drop off. They're not doing their dry cleaning on premises. It's just a small little shop.
Okay. Fine with me.
Okay. On to the next one. So for the next one, we have financial institutions. Basically, it's banks on commercial corridors like Fairbanks and 1792 are very nice because they always build a nice product that is well landscaped and looks nice. But for a walkable downtown area, they need a lot of drive-through lanes. The buildings themselves are getting significantly smaller because everybody is using their, you know, banking on their phone. We actually created an ordinance when we removed some of the larger bank properties from the Orange Avenue overlay. We created an ordinance where any existing bank over 20,000 square feet in town could turn up to 25% of their floor area into a restaurant space because, you know, they close at 5 and it's just sitting there empty. And they've also got these lobbies where 10 years ago it was all about the relationship with your banker, walking in, shaking hands and sitting down, and now it's all done online. And so I had some of the folks who own those large buildings say, look at all this great, you know, real estate I have that sits here empty. It'd be great if we could have a restaurant use there. And it's a great adaptive reuse. The parking won't be an issue. You know, there's an expense of, you know, conversion, commercial kitchen, grease trap, all that sort of thing. But now there are still, you know, we know Bank of the Ozarks wants to put a bank on their property, but we don't really want to for it to look like it does today, where you have the drive-through lanes right at the front of the intersection. It's great to have, but we would like the drive-throughs to be screened on the back of the building or inside a parking garage or something like that.
I agree with what you've said with everything. I think, you know, allowing them to utilize their space for another, whether it's a restaurant or maybe exhibit area or whatever, some additional use is a great idea. And I think screening the drive-through is essential.
Very good. Any other comments on that one before we move on?
No.
The next is fine arts, museums, instruction, dance, music. I don't know if we want to put a maximum size on that since we do have museums, but it's basically, you know, you can have dance classes and piano lessons and all the wonderful fine arts we promote here in the city. Actually, it would be capped at 10,000 square feet because of the, then it would kick into conditional use. So I actually were protected there.
Yeah.
Is everyone comfortable with this?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The next we have fitness facilities, exercise or health club, up to 5,000 square feet. And the reason we kept this so small was because these are parking hogs and they're not good at sharing parking. And typically the architecture isn't very attractive. A lot of it involves outside activity now, especially the CrossFit people, you know, running with tires and that sort of thing. So it still allows for them, but for smaller facilities, maybe sort of personal trainer type things, rehab facilities, that type of use.
How does this number 21 says recreational facilities? How are they? What's the difference?
So recreational facilities would be something,
axe throwing
would fall into that category certainly, and if you have not been, I certainly recommend you go because it is a blast. But gaming is becoming a pretty big deal. Full Sail built an arena for online gaming. It's such a big deal. And there's other, you know, recreation where they play board games and, you know, computer games and stuff like that, or laser tag. You know, this is probably a little small for that, but that was the intention.
Okay. I understand. Thanks.
Okay. Food halls. I think we know all about those. Government services. I'm sure it's only a matter of time before I get kicked out of my office and they make me, you know, give me a small little closet on Orange Avenue somewhere. But that would cover up to, you know, the federal level or county or something like that as well. A grocer, not including convenience stores, up to 10,000 square feet. So again, it's that kind of big city grocer, but I've also heard him called the grocerant, where you can kind of get meals to go. I think the bottom floor of what's the Italian place on 1792? Yeah, you know, you've got the fancier part upstairs. Downstairs, you've got some tables, but you've got this great half restaurant sort of place where you can take meals to go. You can shop around a little bit, but it's not your big trip to Publix once a week. You know, it's just for the things you need for that. Maybe that particular day, or, you know, you don't want to take a trip to the grocery if you hopefully live in the area. And again, that's an example of internal capture, where if you live in a building that has this as one of the uses, that's one less trip on the street. Okay, everybody good with that? Health and wellness studios up to 5,000 square feet. That kind of, you know, that's yoga, bar, different types of classes that, you know, that you can have. And usually they don't have to be very large, but they can be up to 5,000 square feet. And the thing is, a lot of the reasons we have these as allowed uses is because there's a lot of interest in converting some of these older buildings into these type of uses, where you don't have to have a drop ceiling. You can have an open industrial type use or type feel. Let's see, mixed use development can be vertical or horizontal. Basically, mixed use is just two or more. Nonprofits, personal services, spa, barbershop, hair salon, nail salon, massage, cosmetic treatment. Cannot be a standalone massage parlor, must be part of a spa or a cosmetology salon, being the department that deals with business licensing. We've had issues in the past with massage parlors that aren't part of a spa, so that is why that language is in there. All right, pet supply shop, pet grooming, pet daycare, providing no outside kennels, because those can turn into a bad neighbor pretty quick. And then no overnight or weekend boarding of animals. So it's just, you know, dog treats and doggy daycare. Photography studio, professional services, meaning an office or medical office, dental office, those are all fine. Recreational facilities up to 5,000 square feet. Residential uses, such as condominiums, townhomes, apartments, lofts, studios, unless not allowed by the applicable sub-area restrictions. If more than four units is proposed as a part of any new development, remodel, or addition, each of the units shall be a minimum of 750 square feet of living area. Is everybody comfortable with that number? I believe that was an attempt to try to keep the quality of the development higher. We All right, hearing. Nothing on that one. Restaurants / fast casual dining / fine dining. We actually have very clear definitions of different levels of dining within our zoning code, thanks to Park Ave. So these are all the groups that would be allowed on Orange Avenue and the surrounding area. Retail businesses involved with the sale of merchandise on the premises within enclosed buildings and excluding resale establishments or pawn shops, other than closing retail stores, a maximum size of 10,000 square feet. Anyone have any heartburn with that? Is that a bit of a repeat of anything?
No. Do we want to exclude resale establishments if we're if we want to allow things like whether it's antiques or a curio shop? I mean, no, pawn shop, no problem, but the other I have an issue with.
Okay.
I would like to see just it say and excluding pawn shops.
Yeah. That works for me.
So something like that.
No, just excluding, keep the excluding pawn shops. Oh.
Is that a little closer to what we were searching for?
Well, I thought David, is that what you were implying?
I was thinking it would read retail businesses involving the sale of merchandise on the premises within enclosed buildings and excluding pawn shops.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Oh, I can.
You want to just say after the within the closed buildings?
And then get rid of the and excluding resale establishments.
Okay.
And I guess the other than clothing resale can go too.
Correct.
Keep going. Get rid of resale stores. There we go.
Sorry, I've got this lag that... it lags on my side too, and I'm such a patient person. Okay. Retail businesses involving the sale of merchandise on the premises, excluding pawn shops. So I don't think we need the and there. Excluding pawn shops within enclosed buildings. Maximum size of 10,000 square feet. Okay, I like it.
I have a general question, something that I haven't seen in here, and I don't know if we need to deal with it or not. I'm just going to throw this out there. What about things close? pop-up fireworks stores?
Halloween costume stores? Not allowed in city limits. We don't
allow. Okay, so that's already taken care of. Okay.
Yes, sir. And we don't, the commission made the decision a while back. You could either allow medical marijuana dispensaries, but you had to treat them as like a Walgreens, you know, pharmacy, or choose not to at all. And I guess at the time the city chose just not to at all, which is why you don't see a lot of that. And then a lot of the vape shops and things are being closed down, and trying to get those things cleaned up. So theater, do you think we need to say, can say for fine arts?
Performing
arts? Or do we say theater or venue? Do we expand on it so people don't think it's just for movies, that you can go see a, you know, a small concert there, or a play, or different things like that? Or do you think theater is broad enough that it can cover a lot of different things?
Is it in the definitions?
Probably
no.
Mr. Chairman is saying no, so.
I can turn to it faster than you can.
Yeah, it's.
No, it's not in there. We could just say performing arts theater. Is that
theater included? For film or performing arts?
Sure.
For film, music, or that would be performing arts.
I would probably say and or.
Oh, even better. Arts. Yeah.
I like it. Okay, and this next one is straight from the zoning code. So, uses customarily incidental and accessory to the permitted uses, including the repair of goods, the types sold in stores, are permitted. Such repair must be carried on within a completely enclosed building, may not be carried on as a separate business, and provided further that there shall be no manufacturing, assembling, compounding, processing, or treatment of products. Treatment of products other than that which is clearly incidental and essential to the permitted uses. No external storage shall be allowed to the accessory uses. Here's the thing. If you have a shop, you're selling something, and you have a repair portion of it, I really don't think this language is necessary at all. That's a that is an ancillary function of your business. I think there was a reason years ago that somebody wanted to do something that this was put into the code, but I don't think this is a helpful part of our zoning code.
Yeah, I was just thinking of a shoe repair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what if they make some custom shoes? That's not allowed. They want to sell them.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially when we have so many small businesses that are
struggling.
People who are making, you know, maker space
is
a very important thing right now. Yeah, I mean, technically, would an art studio fall into this? So I just have never found this to be.
Yeah, I agree.
A very good. But everybody else okay with? Anybody really want to keep it? Okay, good. And the last one is shared office space, because that's become we found out through our, we did a market study and found out that the two biggest things in demand, even during COVID, was shared office space, co-working space. Because, you know, the office market obviously is changing greatly. A lot of people still haven't gone back to work. But if you're like me, I want to see my people. And if you can get a membership at a co-working space, you know that at least there is a place that folks can show up, and actually productivity is probably going to be better. And it usually involves, there's, you know, food around there and opportunities for collaboration. And there's a lot of demand right now. Whereas there's, on the flip side, there's a lot of empty office, regular office space just sitting there unused. So now that we go to conditional uses, bars, taverns, cocktail lounges, with or without food sales. So that just, you know, I'd go out on a limb and say Fiddler's probably does more sales than not food than food.
Before we go much further, I was just, do we, Dick, Mr. Chairman, I was just wondering if you want to set a time limit or figure out how far we want to go today?
Well, the time limit is 1:30. Is everybody, I'm kind of wondering if we can go. I appreciate the background prompts that you're giving, yep, but I'm wondering if you can go faster with people just saying,
yeah, you bet. And
I've got a problem with number 19 here.
Yeah. And you tell me you need the context and I'll give it to you. You bet.
Maybe that, I don't know. What does the rest of the board think? Because we've only gotten through, this is important stuff, but we're only 6 pages into 45.
I agree.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll keep getting high gear here.
Anybody have anything that they're questioning or concerned about under the whole conditional use?
Yeah, so this basically would allow bars and taverns without food sales, which is not allowed on Park Ave or other places unless you have the parking ability to do so. So like the Brew Stillery, the Bear and Peacock didn't have food.
Yeah.
Okay. Business facilities.
Given, is conditional use required for everything over 10,000 square feet?
Yes.
Okay. That was just a question.
Does that need to be reiterated?
It is. There is a very long section on it further in the document.
Okay. And so we do have room for another McLaren. Just being facetious.
So staff's standpoint is that that should not be allowed. This opens the door for, you know, the city worked for years and years to get rid of the car dealerships and RV dealerships and all that coming into town to create a better entrance on Fairbanks. I still feel it was a mistake for McLaren to be able to create special language just for themselves. I was afraid that it opened a door to more. So my recommendation would be to remove this. Because the city sure did work awful hard to get rid of this type of thing. And when you've got buildings that are set up right now to do this very thing, when we sure could use those buildings being something spectacular,
Well, I have no problem.
Just my personal feeling.
Okay, I'll propose we pull number 8. How's the board feel?
I'm okay with it. I was thinking about an example in downtown Orlando where they have that little, I don't know if it's still there, but where they were selling, I think, minis. And it was just, you know, a little storefront. A couple cars and it kind of
Fiat dealership.
Maybe, yeah. But, you know, that's downtown Orlando. We're talking about Winter Park. So,
yeah, I,
the scale is completely different.
Yeah, I think we kind of approved the McLaren thing because of the situation of the property. This is how the slippery slopes start. I kind of agree with Bronze that was a special deal. Let's not allow another one to go in on the Holler property.
Yeah, I say strike it.
David, what do you think?
I think we should strike it.
Jim?
Very good.
Okay, it's gone.
Okay, and these are prohibited uses in the OAO. Adult-oriented businesses, automotive-related businesses, auto sales, repair, rental, body shops, auto wash, audio, glass, auto tinting, auto parts sales. So,
what about gun shops?
Let's throw it in there.
Not as it's automotive, but I'm just saying, there you go.
Yeah, good point.
I'm going to need to look at that issue. There's a statute that was passed a few years ago that I believe and indicates that you cannot treat retail gun sales differently than any other retail business, but I'll double check on that.
Well, all of those prohibited uses are in some areas a retail business.
Yeah, understood. I will look at the statute. We can call that out specifically.
It's just because Dan likes to walk around with a six shooter on his belt. Well, I'll keep it in there until I'm told otherwise. How about that?
Okay.
I'm sorry. Did somebody have something?
No. Sounds good.
Okay. Standalone massage parlors, not part of a health spa. Fast food with or without drive-through is not allowed. Gas stations or convenience stores.
We can read, Bronz.
Okay. You're good with any of these? Anything else that you would like to? I'm gonna add hookah parlor.
Whoa.
What's a pain man? I mean, why is pain management clinic called out?
It's something that is predates my time here, but it's called out as a disallowed use in every area of our code, and it could predate medical marijuana and have been a deterrent at that time. I honestly don't know. I just know that it's something that is I mean, I've recently had to go to one to get, it's not a fun place or a cool place. I got an injection into my spine, so I don't like them just because of that, but maybe
it just sounds like it'd be part of a medical office.
Mr. Langley, would you mind looking into pain management clinics and maybe why they
I can kind of speak to the issue generally because
okay, great.
Not for Winter Park, because that probably predates when we started representing Winter Park, but I've been practicing in local government for some time, and there was a general concern popped up probably a decade ago about these pill mills. The doctors writing scripts for Oxy, and you'd have lines at the door, these people coming just to get scripts from doctors that would write them for money. And so, there was a push in the local area to put zoning laws in place to prohibit pain management clinics out of the fear of having pill mills pop up everywhere. So I'm assuming Winter Park probably did the same that a lot of other local jurisdictions did at the time and wrote it into the code as a use not, allowed in a lot of areas of the city.
So maybe as a future project for PNZ, we revisit some of these older uses that may not be applicable anymore because things have changed or they're kind of things of the past. But so anybody else have anything on here that they think is would be and I guess I have a question. Do you think we have automotive related businesses Do you think we need to be specific for motorcycles, RVs, other types of, you know, scooters, that sort of thing? Whoops.
Well, we have those maybe on Orange Avenue, right? There's this.
Yeah, there's the Vespa store, which is kind of cute and can remain, but you know, we don't want to become Scooter Row and get scooter gangs going around town. This section shall apply to motorcycles, RVs, specialty
. Wouldn't it make more sense to simply say this section shall apply to motorized vehicles? Once you start specifying, then you're
right.
You're allowing for, you know, you might miss one.
Okay. To any form of motorized transportation that is not medical in nature, I think we should cover ourselves.
So if somebody wants to open an ambulance store, they can.
There you go.
Yes. I hear that's a hot market right now.
One thing that section made me think about that we don't have as a permitted use is a bicycle shop. Is that of any interest to the board?
I want a bike shop so bad. A local bike shop on this trail network we're creating, I think, is just would be amazing. So you bet. I'm gonna put that right in there if I can.
Well, what's the rest of the board thing?
Well, for sure.
Okay.
But I'm not against motorized, well, scooters or small, like a Vespa or something like that.
What about golf cars?
What's that?
What about golf carts?
So we did just pass a micromobility ordinance, basically banning the use of micromobility devices within the city, except ones that are privately owned, because we just didn't want the commercial scooter companies. We didn't want the scooter piles. And
right.
I mean, we had somebody who came in on a Thursday and said, tomorrow we're gonna put out our fleet of 50 scooters that go 14 miles an hour, and they can only be ridden on the sidewalk, and we're going to have them all on Park Avenue. And I went, we should talk. Have you been on Park Avenue? So,
well, you still could buy a private individual, could still buy a
mm-hmm.
Vespa, but I guess.
Yeah, I think that would fall under general retail.
But it's prohibited. Right now, we're saying it's prohibited.
Just in this area, I think the thought is that if you're buying something of a motorized nature, you're going to test drive it. And this may not be the best place to do that. And we do have the one Vespa shop who can continue to operate in perpetuity.
I know, but they could go away.
If another one comes in within 3 months, then they can do so.
That's our next section.
All right. So anything else on prohibited uses that anyone would like to add? Okay. Non-conforming uses and structures. A lot of this is taken directly from other parts of the code.
The only comment I had there was on parent one. I suspect it should say for a period of 3 consecutive calendar months.
Okay.
Well, I'm just asking.
That makes sense. Mr. Yeah. Langley, any issue with that?
No.
And I was also wondering why parent two, it was 60% instead of the, usually you see 50% in places like that. Why 60? Now we got to do high math. Figure out whether if they tear down another wall, that's 60.
Yeah.
I just kind of jumped out at me as.
It seems to give a little more leeway to non-conforming structures getting hit or destroyed rather than. You know, it works in their favor of being able to rebuild rather than the other way around. But since this is its own section, it can be whatever we want it to be.
Well,
I think we would need to say 51% or greater.
Yeah.
If anything.
Anybody else have any opinion? I guess not.
Anyone have opposition to what has been discussed by the chairman?
No.
Okay. See, we may be able to say 50 because we say 50 for building permits. So
that's what I was thinking. And then the next thing that I've got is that paragraph that begins with your title, is that in the wrong place? It just kind of jumps out of, you're reading along about non-conforming uses.
That absolutely is in the wrong place.
Well, it made me kind of wonder, where the heck was that supposed to be?
Somewhere where we get into discussions of transportation. You know me, I just like seeing my name on paper.
Well, I know.
Let me see if I can find a place where that makes a little more sense. Maybe parking and access management.
Well, why don't you just make a note to yourself to... because it's approaching 1:30 and okay. We're going to have to wrap up until our next meeting, which I think is Monday. And I will be out of town. So David, you're in charge Monday.
Okay, I'll make that look prettier.
Yeah.
But thank you. Yes, that is certainly placed randomly. Still get to blame Allison a little bit, right? I haven't done that yet today, so. That's Allison.
Yeah.
We very much covered protecting residential uses within the overlay. We had only about four properties in the overlay that were zoned residential. We took some of them out, then we added them back in recently because the owner of those properties goes, no, I want those in the overlay because I plan to use those for business and I'm already. And then the other two are the Holler properties that are on the north side of Fairbanks and Denning, which I have a big ask of them for those properties. So, but this just protects existing by keeping setbacks at or greater than current standards.
Does anybody have any problems with that? Why don't we wrap up with the landscaping requirements so that we can stop before we attack block structure, which is a little,
just a little.
My only question on landscaping we have down there shall contain at least one shade tree. What's a shade tree?
We have defined within our landscape code. Basically, anytime it's a shade tree, it means live oak, essentially,
large tree. It's a large tree.
Yeah.
All right.
Is 50 feet what you guys have in your code right now?
Yeah, so 50 feet is what we have. We've modified to for any new sidewalk, walkway, bike path.
Because a lot of jurisdictions that I've worked in, we usually do 40 feet on center.
This comes from our city arborist who says for a healthy crown, he prefers 50 feet. And so
that's fine. Plus it's more of a retail district anyway.
Yeah, and then, along our trail and along the 1792 corridor and the West Fairbanks area, we're doing a tree and a decorative light every 50 feet. You know, it would be, the light would be at 25 feet and they'll be staggered. So we've got both shade and light as this canopy grows. So we create this green safe network of connectivity.
You mean understory? Is that what you're, when you say light?
No, an actual decorative light, our acorn style black power coated lights.
Okay. Right.
Because what we've heard from a lot of the people who live literally adjacent to Orange Avenue is I'm afraid to walk to real fish because, you know, Progress Point, it's kind of scary there at night, and you know, by putting a park there and lighting and some other things, I think we'll create a wonderful safe connection all through the city.
All right, that sounds good.
We're over time, so I think, yeah, there we go. We will pick up with block structure on our Monday, the 20th meeting. And like I say, unfortunately, I will be out of town. I don't know if I'll be able to join you.
Well, the good thing is with block structure, this is an Alex specialty. Mr. Stringfellow, and Vishon, I think, and can really help with this because it's very prescriptive, and you know, it's great, but we don't want to be so prescriptive. We make it impossible for folks to be able to build a building. Mr. Fitch, I think you had a question.
No, I think he's saying goodbye. Jim, do you have something to say? Nope,
he left. I think he was saying bye.
Okay, guys.
But yeah, that'll be a good meeting. Again, I'll invite any of you to reach out and have individual meetings to go over anything. Any questions you have, we're available. And thank you again for your time last night. And I think we got a lot done today. And if at this pace, we'll be knocking it out, especially if I quit narrating the whole sections to you, because you all have all done your homework very well. So that's greatly appreciated. I haven't always had that luxury on PNZ before. So.
Okay, guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Good. Talk Monday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.